We'll talk tonight about escaping bitterness, what the Word of God has to say about bitterness. We get a lot of prayer requests turned in for people that are bitter, and bitterness is something that's found in the Word of God, but we're going to talk tonight about how to turn that around and get out of bitterness. And bitterness is a trap we often get into, and James chapter 3 talks about bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll talk about that for some of the verses we often remember about roots of bitterness, but we're going to talk about where does bitterness come from, what are the results of bitterness, and then most of all, how can we get out of it? Because maybe you know someone that's bitter. Oftentimes we have wives that come to church and husbands don't come to church because they're bitter. On the other side, we often have husbands come to church and wives won't come because they're bitter. We often have people that used to come to church. Now they no longer come to church because they're bitter. And oftentimes, bitterness will lead a person to not even go to a church that's as good, or even worse, not to go to church at all, and just sit back and be in bitterness toward other people. And so, again, bitterness is something that Satan would love to get us into because it stops our testimony, it stops our progress, it stops our growth in the Lord, and oftentimes even causes us to go backwards in the things of God. And so bitterness becomes one of those enemies we need to locate. The Bible says we're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices, and bitterness is one of them. We know, according to Galatians chapter 5, that bitterness is one of those areas of the flesh, works of the flesh, and all those emulations and wrath and things in there. It's all part of bitterness and oftentimes part of the results of bitterness. Look with me here at James chapter 3, and let's start with verse 14. James chapter 3 and verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where there is envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. It starts out in verse 14 talking about bitter envying and strife in your hearts. It goes on to say there, glory not and lie, and do not lie against the truth. The word for bitterness in the Word of God is the Greek word pikria. It's spelled P-I-K-R-I-A, pikria. And the word actually is talking about, first of all, before it's even bitterness as we have it here in the Word of God, the word is describing something that's bitter to the taste. We know that oftentimes in the Word of God, it's used for gall. It's used for the vinegar that was placed in the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, again, is where bitterness begins. It starts at something that is evil in the mouth, does not taste good in the mouth, but that's the same analogy that's brought over to bitterness in the soul. And that which is bitter to the mouth, your first reaction is to want to spit it out. The first reaction we should have toward bitterness also, getting in our soul, is the same thing. Or bitterness getting into our thoughts towards someone else is the same thing, as we should desire to spit it out and to get rid of it. And so, again, we're told in Acts chapter 8 and verse 23, Paul told Simon there, he said, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And again, he talked about a man that was resisting the infilling of the Holy Spirit, a man that was resisting the things of God, and he called him a man that was filled with bitterness and talked about the gall of bitterness. So again, our taste buds are designed not to receive something that is bitter, and the first thing we desire is to spit it out. And that's often, again, a great description of what happens when a person becomes bitter. For bitterness is something that, again, starts on the outside but eventually ends up on the inside of us. You know, there's oftentimes you might eat something and something in it was bitter, and the moment it got into your mouth, the first thing you do again is desire to spit it out. But it's not something that you intended to do. It's something that just happened. The bitterness that was in that element got into your mouth. The same thing happens often with bitter experiences. In other words, oftentimes the bitterness we have in our hearts is a reaction to a bitter situation that we come across. We often run across bitter situations in life. Things are done to us that we don't necessarily like. And so we react in bitterness, and that bitterness which is in that situation or in that person becomes a part of us, and we walk away by reacting to a situation. I heard somebody say one time, and I've never forgot it, when I was teaching at Rhema, there was another teacher that was teaching there, and I sat in on his class that day, and he talked about that in any situation, how you react is the most important thing. We often use the expression, so-and-so makes me mad. Listen, no one makes you mad. You allow yourself to get mad. Bitter situations come along, you say, well, so-and-so made me bitter. No, no one can make you bitter. You can react to a bitter situation and you can receive that bitterness. And that's what happens. Again, oftentimes we have the first thought of bitterness comes to us. It's much like eating something and that bitter thing gets into our mouth. And the first thought, again, we desire to spit it out. And there's been times when I've eaten things. I remember one time that Loretta and I went out with Jeff and Jan to eat somewhere, and it was at a Chinese restaurant, and they said, don't eat those little black things. Those things are not designed to eat. Well, I didn't, but somehow it got mingled in with the rest of the food. I had it in my mouth, and I was trying to talk, and tears were running down my face, and I was coughing so hard, and I was trying my best to find that thing in my mouth without swallowing it, and I was trying with my tongue, my teeth, and everything to find that thing and spit it out of my mouth. And, I mean, I reacted to that thing for some time. It was, I couldn't wait to get that thing out of my mouth. And again, it was one of those things that I didn't try to. It just ended up in the food, and I ate it. And oftentimes we do the same thing. We see people, we go over to talk to them, and suddenly they react to us in bitterness. Or a situation comes along that we didn't count on, we didn't ask for, but a bitter situation comes along. I can't think of a better example than the children of Israel when they came to Marah. The Bible says that they came to the waters of Marah and the waters were bitter. They didn't know it till they reached down and they began to drink of that water and they spit it out, finding out how bitter it was. But the sad thing was, is that bitter experience caused bitterness in them. They then reacted toward Moses in bitterness. Again, Moses didn't act in bitterness. Moses went directly to the Lord and asked for a remedy for that situation. And that often reminds me of how other Christians react to the same situation. Some Christians can walk away from evil circumstances and bless God in the midst of it and say, well, Lord, I pray for them. They've got a problem. But other people can walk away with their problem. They took the problem. And that's what happens when a person gets wrapped up in bitterness, is that bitterness that's on the outside of them in a situation they actually take into their own selves. And again, just like the body desires to get rid of bitterness, so does the soul. It's designed to do the same thing. Let me tell you what happens when a person gets into bitterness. Only a person competing with someone would keep something bitter in his mouth. You know, there's often these things where people try to put something, you know, bad in their mouth and keep it there, but they're competing with someone else. I know a friend of mine that was attending ORU one year, and they had a hot chili pepper eating contest in their dorm one day. And the whole thing was to see how many they could eat. This guy had never eaten a hot chili pepper in his life. Didn't like the smell of it, didn't like the taste of it. But the competition got so strong, and all those around him were antagonizing him to get into it, that this guy finally did something he would have never done under normal situations. And you know what? He won the contest. He said his mouth got so numb. He said his throat got so numb. He said for the next 4 or 5 days, even going to the bathroom felt like he was burning up. He said it burned all through his whole system. And he kept saying, what is it that caused me to do something so stupid? He said it was the competitiveness of the moment. Let me tell you what bitterness does. Bitterness puts you in competition with other people. Only a person in competition with someone else would keep bitterness in their soul, just like a person in competition would keep bitterness in their mouth. Again, the same thing holds true. And that's why the same word for bitterness for natural things in the Word of God, such as gall and such as wormwood, are described in the Word of God as bitter elements. But that same word is also used for bitterness of the soul. And again, what happens with bitterness is you become in competition with someone. Every one of us has faced situations where we come to church or situations where we've gone to some meeting or we're just around somebody and somebody just all of a sudden just lashes out at us. I've never liked you. I've never liked the way you dress. I can't stand those words. How come you always talk like that? And you're going, you know, what is this? What happened? Excuse me. But what happens is, in essence, by their attitude, they are coming against you and challenging you. And what Satan wants you to do is accept the challenge, to take their bitterness in you. Your reaction to a situation like that is to get rid of the bitterness as fast as you can. Lord, I will not accept that. Your whole thing should be walking away from there saying, I'm not going to take their problem. They have a problem. Lord, I'm going to pray for their problem. And walk away with a forgiving attitude instead of an accepting attitude of their bitterness. We all face situations like this. There's two types of bitterness we can face, either from people or from circumstances. Again, from people or from circumstances. Every one of us face circumstances from time to time that we did not ask for. I mean, there have been times I've walked into this office on Monday morning and about an hour later say, Lord, I didn't ask for any of this. I mean, there have been counseling calls come into my office that lied on the sheet, that said, we're coming in for this. And when they came in, it wasn't for this, it was for that. And they flat let me have it. They've walked out going, and I'm saying, Jesus, I didn't ask for this. What is this? And suddenly I felt myself being threatened. I feel myself wanting to retaliate. I feel myself wanting to react in bitterness. And oftentimes we have Christians do that. And the moment you accept that into your heart, the moment you accept that and begin to meditate on it, bitterness has some tremendously bad results in your life and will often drive you further away from the presence of God than closer to the presence of God. Will then set you in competition, not with that person alone, but after a while you'll be in competition with just about everybody you meet. That bitterness will spill out of you. You'll look for anybody that will join your side, and most people won't. Some of the friends you used to have won't be your friends anymore, and you'll find out it becomes more and more difficult to get friends, because the moment you get one, you share your bitterness with them, and like most people who should do it, they will not accept your bitterness. They'll go on their way. The Bible says not to become friends with a bitter person, an angry person, because otherwise that bitterness can come off on you. It's all right at times to want to help a bitter person, but if they don't want to be helped, listen, dust your feet, go off somewhere else, because the longer you hang around a bitter person, that bitterness will become part of you. You'll find yourself siding in with a bitter person. Let me tell you what happens oftentimes. Again, we find ourselves blaming other people. A bitter person never really blames the ultimate culprit, and that's themselves, for accepting the bitterness. Again, we often blame other people. Let me tell you what happens when circumstances come our way. In circumstances, we don't have anybody to blame, but we're still not going to blame ourselves. Such as something happens in your life, and I've often seen this happen, with the death of a loved one. A man may have his wife die, a wife's husband may die, or a child may die in the home. And these are circumstances of which you had no control at the moment. It might have been a surprise. It might have been something that you weren't counting on again, but this person died, and so you're angry suddenly at the circumstances. You're not going to blame yourself for accepting the anger, and so ultimately in circumstances, you end up blaming God. And so you either end up blaming people or you end up blaming God through circumstances, because the whole thing is, why would God allow this to happen? Again, I can tell you there's been things happening in my life that I begin to wonder after a while, was God behind this or was I missing something here? But the point is we don't want to accept the bitterness of any situation. Every one of us run across situations we don't understand. That's the time to place it in the Lord's hands and understand something. He will answer it in due season if we faint not. In the meantime, I'm going to keep on serving God, and one day He'll answer that question for me, but I will not get into bitterness over it. So again, we have from the Word of God that bitterness is something we cannot afford. It's something that we cannot take within ourselves. Again, only a person in competition would accept something bitter into their mouth when they're competing with somebody else. And the same thing happens with bitterness inside of our heart, and that is we get into competition with people, we get into competition with circumstances, and sadly, often, we get into competition with God. Again, it often begins with something which is beyond your control. Someone comes to you and says something you don't like, but you didn't plan on it. In fact, you didn't even know they were going to do that. They suddenly just lashed out at you. Or again, often towards circumstances, we end up blaming God. I want you to look back with me at that verse of Scripture. Look with me at James again and look at verse 14 here at chapter 3. He says, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts," this next phrase says, "glory not." It actually means not to boast. And this verse of Scripture really brings out where it comes from. The root of bitterness is from arrogance. A person who is in bitterness is in arrogance. They actually consider themselves better than anybody else, will justify their bitterness. And that's what this means. It says, if you are in bitterness, don't boast about it. This is not something you should go around bragging about. In other words, bitterness will actually turn you around to where you don't make sense anymore. You're bragging about things that people wonder, why are you bragging about that? You'll boast about the fact that you have a right to be angry, that you have a right to be resentful, and that you have a right to be bitter. And so again, he says there in that verse of Scripture, he says, "Glory not and lie not against the truth." Now, the truth here is God's Word. The truth here is the presence of God. The truth here is the Holy Spirit. And what this is saying is a person will even find themselves not only at variance against his brother or his sister, not only in competition with those around him, he'll find himself ultimately in competition with the Word of God, with those who are preaching and teaching the Word of God. He'll find himself in competition ultimately with God, from which all truth comes from. And that's why he says in this verse of Scripture again, concerning bitterness, he said, we're not to glory in it, and next of all, we're not to lie against the truth. And this begins to tell us ultimately where bitterness will lead us. Bitterness will lead us, again, finally away from each other and finally away from the presence of God. Again, bitterness often starts from even a small element in our life to where sometimes we get resentful over things or we get offended over things by what people or circumstances do to us, and then bitterness will set in. Again, God tells us here how important it is to resist bitterness. That's why verse 15 goes on to say, "This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, next of all sensual, and then devilish." Where it says earthly, this actually means from the curse. And this actually means from the flesh. Where does bitterness come from? It comes from the flesh. Next of all, he goes on to say, it is sensual. And sensual here actually is the word psychikos, which is the word soulish. Your natural mind will want to feed on that from the flesh. But again, you're not to allow it to do so. And then finally, it says it is devilish or demonic. So actually, we have a progression here. It starts with the flesh. The soul takes over. It begins to enjoy it. It begins to like the arrogance. And then all of a sudden, even demons begin to come in and Satan begins to operate around us. But again, we are the one ultimately who opened up the door for it. Then in verse 16, it says, "For where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and there is every evil work." Let me give you some things that surround bitterness or results of bitterness, as this verse says, "For where there is envying and strife, there is finally confusion, and then ultimately every evil work." Let me tell you some results of bitterness. When a person gets into bitterness, here's some things that begin to surround them. You'll find this person no longer loves. They begin to operate in hatred toward other people. That thing of spiritual king of the mountain. I've often seen Christians begin to look down their nose at other Christians. And it starts out with bitterness, again, as he says in this verse of Scripture. So a person moves into hatred. Then they get into cruelty. And I'm not talking about physical cruelty. I'm just talking about cruelty of thoughts, cruelty of words, ultimately wanting to see the person destroyed. How dare them speak like that to me? Listen, every one of us are going to have times in our life when somebody's going to say something to us we don't like. And we're going to notice something. Again, oftentimes, it's not the words they're saying. It's the attitude behind it. You can tell this person's had a problem for a while. And they're not just lashing out at me. There's something wrong in their life that's causing them to say that. Of course, some of the hardest things to do at a time like that is bite your lip and not say anything or react in love toward them or desire to pray for them. And the Bible tells us that love is what hides a multitude of sins and that oftentimes, again, reacting in love toward a person is what actually heaps back coals on their head. And so as a person comes against us, have anger and blaming us for things that we may not even thought about at the moment. Again, we are not to retaliate toward them. But ultimately, if we do, and we take bitterness in our heart, then the next thing that will crop up in our life toward them is cruelty. We begin to look for their demise. We begin to look for their destruction. And of course, this is against the Word of God, for the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And then if it doesn't happen over the next few weeks, then we start to do it ourselves. And of course, that's called revenge. And again, that's what the Lord says, "His vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And God wants us to stay away from anything that has to do with revenge. Now, again, there are times when people do cruel things to us and we're to separate from them. But of course, we know in Romans chapter 16, as well as in the book of Galatians, the Bible tells us that when people do evil things to us or evil things in the church, there comes a time we have to separate from them, but we never separate out of anger or hatred toward them. We separate out of love. Have you know that when God disciplines us, it's in love. It's not in hatred. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. The Bible tells us in the church, there's times we have to separate from certain people. Those who obviously are causing division in the church, we have to separate ourselves from them. But it never says that we separate from them, quit praying for them, quit loving them. The Bible goes on to say we continue to pray for them. We continue to love them, but we love them from a distance. Now, there are some people that you know good and well. You get around them very much and the sparks begin to fly. Have you know there's some people you just have to love from a distance, okay? That's not just true with the church, that's true with individuals. There's certain people that you know that are angry at you for some reason, and every time you tried to approach them, ask them what the problem was, they just got madder at you all the time. So instead of hanging around and provoking the thing by asking more and more, tell me what the problem is, you finally had to back off and leave them in the Lord's hands. And again, oftentimes, even going to somebody trying to straighten something out, we can walk away in anger. We can walk away in bitterness from the situation. And what the Lord is saying is reject the bitterness. Walk away when you have the opportunity and don't accept their anger into your life. Because if you do, then eventually, the longer you stay away, number one, it turns into hatred. Number two, into cruelty. Number three, it turns into revenge. Then you can begin to have this one too, and that's self-pity. Why did they do that to me? I didn't deserve that. And after a while, you begin to feel sorry for yourself. It can also turn into competition. Again, you compete with them. Everything you do, you see through the eyes of your bitterness. And then you end up competing with them. Everything you want to do is to try to outdo them. They come to church and give $100, and by gosh, I'm going to give $150. Every time they start to do something, you're going to compete with them. And again, competition sets in. But as this verse of Scripture also says, confusion sets in. Confusion is actually when you begin to react and act in a situation to where others around you know you're wrong. And listen, all this trouble you're having is literally self-induced. You are the problem. It's one thing to be fooled by somebody else. It's one thing to be deceived by somebody else. It's one thing to be deceived by Satan. It's something else to be deceived by other people. But the worst type of deception you can enter into is self-deception. And that's what a person who's entered into bitterness has done. He has entered into self-deception, and therefore we have the fact that he is in confusion. Next of all, he becomes hypocritical. He's walking around like everything's okay, but he knows it's not. He says nice things to certain people, but he doesn't mean it. And so again, we become hypocritical. The next thing is jealousy enters in. He's jealous of other people around. Jealous of that person when that person prospers. Jealous of that person when that person thinks good things happen to them. And then the last thing we have is, as it says there, we have rejection of the Word of God. Notice again it says in verse 14, it says, glory not and lie not against the truth. We actually have a person who cannot understand the Word of God and rejects the Word of God. You know, on Wednesday nights we've been discussing and taking up the sin of David. And this actually happened in David's own life, to where David began eventually to be filled with bitterness. He became touchy over his sin. He wouldn't confess it, and all of a sudden he took bitterness into his soul. He couldn't blame himself in all these things, so he was blaming other people. And so we have, again, he became hypocritical, and finally at the end he even rejected God's Word. As this particular verse says, lie not against the truth. And so that happened in David's life until finally it was the Holy Spirit that pierced his heart through this story that came to Nathan. And what I'm saying is, even though as bad as it may seem, the things I'm painting to you, we're going to talk about that I don't care how bitter the situation is. And I don't care how much bitterness has got into you, God has a plan for you to get out. Every one of you probably know somebody that's bitter. Every one of you probably know a person that used to come here to church or go somewhere else to church that's bitter. Some of you may have even been spirit-filled or born again along with somebody else and used to have a great time around the things of God. Used to come to church together, but you saw bitterness enter in. And that person no longer wants to serve God. If you even bring up the situation, it's never their fault. It's always Sister So-and-so's fault. It's always Brother So-and-so's fault, or ultimately, worst of all, it's God's fault. And so, again, each person oftentimes reacts to different situations in different ways. But it all comes down to this, that the way to stay away from bitterness is by acting on the Word that's in you, acting by the love that's on the inside of you, and acting by the Holy Spirit. Because those are what helps you to remain away from bitterness and to walk away from it and not be taken in by it. Not take that bitterness into your own life. And so again, we have those areas of hatred, cruelty, revenge, self-pity, competition enters in, confusion, hypocrisy, jealousy, and even rejection of the Word of God. Let's talk about some things in the Word of God that are causes of bitterness. We're going to take a few things from the Scriptures. Here's one that's interesting. It's 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. And because Hannah had no children, bitterness entered into her. And oftentimes, again, bitterness can enter in because it looks like other people are getting blessed and you're not. You think that certain things are yours as a right. How come things that I should be receiving in my life, I'm not receiving? Let me tell you what, every one of us in some area of our life can look at other people and say, why are they blessed and I'm not? You know, there may be something in your life that people look at you and say, well, how come they have it and I don't? While at the same time, we're always looking to other people saying, why do they have that and I don't? It may be in the area of children, or it may be in the area of a good family. Oftentimes, girls look around and some other girls get all the dates. Guys look around and some of the other guys get all the dates. How come I don't get dates? And then somebody finally gets married and everybody else around says, well, how come they got married and I haven't got married yet? There's always something you can be in competition with other people about. But you see, the good thing is knowing the Lord. knowing that God's watching over you. He never makes a mistake. And my person's coming one of these days. My guy's out there. My girl's out there. My wife is somewhere out there. I'm just going to keep following God, and He's going to either lead me to her or He's going to lead her to me. One of these days, we're going to run face to face into each other. And when we do, prang, there she is. But in the meantime, I'm just content to follow after the Lord. But you see, some people are always in competition with other people because it looks like someone else has got blessed. I can't tell you how many women in this church have not had children in the past, and yet they decided not to get bitter at those around that were, you know, fertile myrtles and having kids everywhere. It seemed like every time they turn around, they were pregnant, couldn't help but get pregnant. And some women were running around here wondering, what in the world's going on? But they finally resigned themselves and turned themselves over to the Lord, found out there were other things in their life God wanted to work on and work out, first of all. Then when the child came along, they were much better prepared, and that child was a tremendous blessing. Again, all I can say is you hang in there with God and you keep turning your case over to Him, and don't you let situations or other people put bitterness into your heart. You keep following after the Lord and you'll find out there's no blessing anybody else has that God's trying to withhold from you. He's no respecter of persons. The thing of it is, with timing, there's always timing. Some people wonder why by 30 years old they haven't become a millionaire. When so-and-so did, and so-and-so else did, but yet they continue to follow after God, and pretty soon their fortunes begin to come. Again, there's just certain timing with God that you can't put aside. God has blessings for your life. I can't tell you how many people have been blessed later on in old age. But who cares? It's all God's timing anyway. In the meantime, He's my portion. On top of that, He's my life. All these other things, that's why God is simply saying, in essence, when you get into competition with somebody else and you enter into bitterness, you've turned your back on the blessings of God. It's like slapping God in the face saying, you're not sufficient, you're not able, you're not good enough because I have figured out that someone else is getting all the breaks and I'm not. Talk to that person that you think is getting all the breaks and you'll find out there's areas of their life that they think somebody else is getting all the breaks. Again, there's always something we can look at our life and it looks like somehow we've got the short end of the stick in something. But again, God's saying in these verses of Scripture, don't get bitter over them. I mean, I can't help but think of the parents of John the Baptist, who by that time gave up on having a child, yet the angel came to them and told them. But you know what? They continued to serve God. They probably came to the point where they finally said, you know, if we don't have kids, we're just going to keep on serving God for the rest of our life because the Lord is our portion. And again, John the Baptist, Father, he just kept going in there every day, Zacharias, and lighting candles and doing the things he was supposed to be doing, lighting the torches and working there in the temple, which was his job. And again, it wasn't some great glamorous job. It'd be more like helps ministries in the church. But he just kept doing what he was supposed to do, and God rewarded him. So again, he's saying here, don't let bitterness enter into you. And I can't tell you how many characters, of course, you can probably begin to think of them, in the Word of God that allowed bitterness to enter into their heart. Solomon did, and Saul did, and other ones in the Word of God that allowed that bitterness to get into their heart, and eventually it destroyed them. Solomon finally recovered by the end of his life, but how many years were wasted, again, in bitterness as he looked around him? And here was a man who had everything that the natural man could want, but yet he was always looking at somebody else. And that goes to show you that no matter how much money you have, no matter how much power you have, no matter how much fame you have, no matter how much control you have in life, without the Lord, you'll be in competition with everybody. I remember one verse of Scripture. It's so interesting in the book of Ecclesiastes. Is here was a man with all this money, and he decided one day he was going to build great projects. And so Solomon went out and decided with all his money, he's going to make a great name for himself. So he turned into a great philanthropist. He started building buildings and probably libraries and all types of things for all of humanity around him, thinking somehow this would make him happy. Probably every project in town had Solomon's name on it. It's probably Solomon's elevator and Solomon's steps, and everything in the building had Solomon's name on it because he contributed for everything in town. And there was one night when it says in Ecclesiastes, he was laying in bed and he was so miserable with all the money he had and all the things he was trying to do to make him happy. And he heard all the workers out there who were probably making $4 an hour snoring asleep. And he said, those working people who aren't making much are out there sleeping, and I've got all this money and I can't sleep. Probably had an ulcer keeping him awake. And yet he entered into bitterness. In other words, he turned from the one thing that could bring him happiness, which was the Lord, and he tried to fill that gap with money, with sex, with parties, with philanthropy, with doing all the things that man often tries to do to fill those gaps inside of him, and he just kept getting more miserable, and more miserable. So is the results of bitterness if you don't stop it in time. Well, eventually Solomon did. And again, we're going to take up some of those areas. But again, we find in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10 that Hannah had no children. She became bitter. In Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 4 and Amos chapter 8 and verse 10, just write these down, we find something here which was interesting. And that is we find a vicious circle that occurred with Israel. They looked at the prosperity of the people, the nations around them, surrounding them, such as Babylon, and they couldn't understand why these nations and Assyria was so prosperous, and the people became bitter against that. Bitterness drove them further away from the Lord, not closer to the Lord. In their bitterness, eventually they were taken over by Babylon and they went into captivity. When they got into captivity, many of them, because of captivity, even got more bitter against the Lord. In other words, what happened was their sin opened up the door for Satan, opened up the door for this destruction, opened up the door for captivity to come in, but instead of recovering and seeing what they were doing, the circumstances even caused them to become more bitter. So we have a vicious circle. Yet out of that, we have a group of people who went into captivity and in captivity repented, got their lives right before the Lord, and bitterness was gone. This was the group that ended up coming back to the land and settling the land and becoming more wealthy and prosperous than ever before. Here's the whole essence of it. If in bitterness, you run into all these circumstances and wake up, God can bring you back to where you used to be and increase you even more. But if you stay in bitterness, there's no place for you to go except ultimately destruction. So again, we have that in the book of Lamentations and Amos. Romans chapter 3 and verse 14 talks about those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who have rejected the word eventually become bitter. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, for here's one of the ways that bitterness can enter in. Colossians, the third chapter. We find that bitterness can often enter into a marriage relationship. I know none of you, but this verse tells us that oftentimes people can become bitter in their marriage. Colossians chapter 3, look with me at verse 18. Here it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit, or it is becoming in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Now the reason why this verse follows verse 18 is because the bitterness can come in when wives don't submit as you think they should. And bitterness comes in. I mean, you often compare like, well, you know, brother so-and-so's wife submits in that area. And oftentimes we end up comparing our wives with other wives. Husbands oftentimes are compared to other husbands. And this is saying that bitterness can enter into a marriage relationship. That's why the verse starts out before it says, don't become bitter at them. It says, love them. Love them as Christ loves the church. So in loving them, that keeps bitterness from coming in. And bitterness also is often a reaction against patience. When we don't react in patience, we can react in bitterness. Every one of us need to operate in patience. And so again, it says there that husbands can become bitter against their wives. Write this verse of Scripture down. Oftentimes, kids can bring bitterness into our lives. We have great aspirations for them, and they don't do squat. Okay? Proverbs 17:25. Proverbs 17:25. It says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him." So oftentimes when children don't do what we think they should do, don't grow up in the way we think they should, oftentimes we react in bitterness and we should not. Now, again, let's talk about how do we get out of this area. Well, let's turn one other verse of Scripture. Well, just write this one down, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 10. Here's a very interesting verse of Scripture. And this tells us in Proverbs 14:10 that bitter people lose friends and have a hard time making more. It even says in that verse of Scripture, strangers want nothing to do with you when you're bitter. You may go up to a stranger and try to make friends with him, but what often happens with a bitter person is your bitterness begins to spew out and you begin to try to make them your friend by making them come in competition with someone else too. Maybe somebody they don't know. And all of a sudden that person ends up walking away from you and you'll find that bitterness isolates you from people. It doesn't help you gain friends. The only people who may hang around you is people who will accept your bitterness. And the sad thing is that's a bad relationship for friendship. It's not really friendship at all when all you share with each other is bitterness. And friendship is designed for something much better than that. Let's talk about, I'm going to give you three verses of scripture about recovery from bitterness. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38. And look with me at verse 17. And here in verse 17, it tells us where, first of all, we get out of bitterness. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. Instead of peace, or in exchange for peace, I had great bitterness. God intends that the guiding factor in our life be peace. He tells us to follow after peace with all men. When we're born again, the first thing we receive is peace. Peace can grow and be multiplied by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Isaiah is pointing out that just like the people, in his heart he had bitterness instead of peace. So he says again, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. To get out of bitterness, the first thing we need to do is confess it as a sin. We need to isolate it for exactly what it is. Bitterness is a sin. It is not a luxury. It is not something you are entitled to. Bitterness is a sin. What you are entitled to is peace, not bitterness. And how of you wouldn't gladly want peace instead of bitterness? But see, oftentimes because we get in competition with somebody else and that antagonism is there and revenge is there, we don't want to give it up. We want to hang on to it. And that's as stupid as the guy who ate all the hot peppers just because everybody was pressuring him and afterwards realized what a mistake that it was. And so again, the same thing happens here in Isaiah chapter 38, and that is it starts by, again, asking the Lord to forgive us, and God will cast that bitterness. God will take all those things that we took into ourselves and remove them far from Him. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look with me at verse 14. Follow what with all men? Peace. Some of you are still looking for it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall perceive the Lord. This is what the Greek word means. Next of all, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. This is not only telling us we need to ask for forgiveness for bitterness, but we need to stay diligent in watching over it, lest that bitterness spring back up. Let me tell you something. Where does bitterness and where can bitterness spring back up? Bitterness can spring back up because of a root of remembrance. We can never wipe out the thoughts. Again, people often said, I not only forgive you, I've forgotten all about it. It's impossible for man to forget about it. You cannot forget what people have done to you. But what can happen is the sting of it can be gone. And that's what this verse is telling us. We need to diligently watch over our memory. Oftentimes we may come into church after we've been at home and said, Lord, I forgive her, I forgive her, I forgive her. For the things she said to me, for the things she said to my husband, for the things she said to my wife. Lord, I forgive her. I forgive him, whoever it may be. And we've got it all straightened out with the Lord, and pretty soon we walk into church and we've forgotten all about it until we see them, and suddenly memories come back. What they said, and all of a sudden we have to watch it in those situations and keep that root from springing up. Take authority over it. Grit your teeth and say, I will react in love. I will react in love. Jesus, I will react. And then, again, that's watching over that root of bitterness so that we'll not spring back up, because if it does, just like bitterness in the first place can defile you, so can a root of bitterness springing back up, it can defile you too. So the first thing we need to do, again, is ask for forgiveness of it. The next thing, as it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, is watch over it so that it doesn't spring back up, and keep treating it in love, because it's love that hides a multitude of sins. So therefore, keep operating in love. Watch over that memory, watch over that remembrance, and keep it from springing back up, because again, it is there. Now, eventually, yes, what will happen is the longer you operate in love and the more you operate in God's Word, then eventually the sting of that thing can be gone. There can be one day you can see them in church, the memory can actually come back, and there is no sting of it anymore. You can look at them and remember what they did, evaluate where you let down, evaluate where you let that bitterness come into you. You can look back on it and say, Father, I see how the whole thing happened. I'm glad that you've forgiven me. I'm glad I've watched over this thing. I'm glad I haven't failed of the grace of God. And now, Father, I can handle it. So again, oftentimes what this is saying is it may take a while, but again, we can keep roots of bitterness from springing back up in the meantime. And finally, turn over with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and look with me at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Every one of us as believers have the Holy Spirit living in us. But there's two things we can do to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Spirit, or we can grieve the Spirit. Quenching the Spirit comes when we try to do what the Holy Spirit's supposed to do, but grieving Him comes by sin. When we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit, because sin is such a grief to the holiness of God. Therefore, it says again in that verse, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Next of all, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice or maliciousness. Next of all, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now the formula for getting rid of bitterness is found here in this verse of Scripture. First of all, it says, get rid of bitterness. Along with a lot of other sins, it says, get rid of it. Now, what's that verse saying? First of all, we need to ask God to forgive us of it, and then we need to get rid of it. That'd be like a person standing there with that hot pepper in their mouth, burning them up, red as can be, sweating all over, and you say, spit it out. No, I can't. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. Now, for you to say to me, I can't get rid of this bitterness, you're arguing against the Word of God, because this verse says you can. How do I do it? Spit the thing out. But I'm going to tell you what's causing you to keep it. Pride. Only a prideful person would keep that thing in their mouth in competition with everybody else when they know it's one of the stupidest things they've ever done in their life. But pride says, I can't let myself down in front of all these macho guys around me. I've got to do this. When anybody in their right mind is standing on the outside says, macho or not, spit the thing out. And that's where it comes back to it, is oftentimes we get this spiritual pride built up on the inside. We feel justified in how we feel. We feel justified in bitterness. And this verse says, put it far from you. Just like it says in the beginning of the book of Ephesians, take off the old man, put on the new. But I can't get rid of sin. Take it off. But I can't. Take it off. This verse says, with the Holy Spirit living in you and the new birth in you and the new creation you are in God, you can put off sin. Again, we often hear all the excuses for people. What's my mother's fault? It's my father's fault. It's my heritage. It's my environment. All the other things. And yes, sometimes these things contribute to our lives, but you're the one that reacted to it. This verse is saying, put it off. With Christ in you, with the Holy Spirit in you, with the Word of God on your side, put it off. Then next of all, it goes on to say, how do I do that? How do I now, once I have put it off, react to the person who acted toward me? How do I react next time to the circumstances that come my way just like it did before? It goes on to say, quit looking to the person and start looking to God as your example. For how many times have you reacted toward God or acted toward God, but He never reacts back toward you? He always forgives you. Your example is not brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Your example is God Himself on how He's treated you. And how He's treated you is how you need to treat other people. Amen. Well, Lord, what they did to me, and God's saying, what have you done to me? Well, Lord, they did this to me. He says, well, how many times do you want me to tell you you've done that to me? How many times have you done the same thing to me? But do I act toward you like you've acted toward them? The answer is no. Lord, you're always long-suffering. Lord, you're always forgiving. Lord, you're always trying to turn the situation around and make something good out of it. Lord, you don't react back toward me when I act toward you in bitterness and strife. And the Lord says, that's how you need to act toward somebody else. Of course, your first thought is say, well, that's a tall order to fill. Listen, through the Holy Spirit, you can do it. That God wouldn't ask you to do anything that you can't do. With the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be done. Maybe tonight you're thinking about somebody that's made you angry. Maybe you're thinking about somebody or some situation or circumstances that you let affect your life, and you've been in bitterness ever since then. You know, it's all right to sit in certain sections of the congregation, but boy, if you see brother so-and-so around, immediately those thoughts begin to flare up. And it's becoming worse in your life. All I can tell you is it's never too late to turn. It's never too late to repent and ask God to forgive you. And on top of that, it's never too late to react back toward them as the Lord has acted toward you. And that's to act in forgiveness. That's to act in love toward them. And just as God has forgiven you over and over again, you need to forgive them for the way they approached you, for the words they said to you. And on top of that, I'm going to tell you what, some of you need to get in there and actually ask God to forgive you of your attitude toward Him. Because you've blamed Him for situations. Some of you come into situations in your life that you couldn't explain. You couldn't put it on any person because no person was responsible. So ultimately, you look behind the circumstance and you ultimately blame God. And God's not the one you need to be blaming. You need to point the finger at yourself and say, Lord, I reacted to that situation. Lord, I don't understand it. I still don't understand what happened. But Lord, I'm going to put it in your hands because you do. And I'm going to expect you to answer it and to open it up into my life. I want every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. I want you for just a moment examining yourself. Perhaps it's you I'm speaking to tonight. Or perhaps right now God has laid someone on your heart that's in bitterness. And perhaps you need to pray for them. Perhaps you might even need to get this tape and give it to them and show them what God's answer is for bitterness. And to show them that through the power of the Holy Spirit they can turn. And if that's you tonight, if it's you or if it's someone else that God's laid on your heart, would you just real quickly raise up your hand and put it right back down. I just want to know tonight that the Holy Spirit's speaking about certain people. Yes. Then I want you to join me in prayer. If it's you, put your name here in this prayer. If it's someone else, I want you to see them in the midst of this prayer, and we're going to surround them with the forgiveness of God. We're going to surround them by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, right now I pray. And Father, this person that stands guilty in your sight, right now, Father, they're forgiven. Father, if it's those in this congregation tonight, they're asking for forgiveness. And Father, if it's somebody else outside of this congregation, we ask for their forgiveness. And Father, we see them through the eyes of forgiveness right now. How many times have you forgiven us? How often, Lord, would have been so easy for you to react toward us in bitterness? But you don't. Father, you've become our example. Therefore, tonight, we react in love, not in hatred, not in bitterness. Father, we refuse to let bitterness run its course. Father, we're going to let love run its course. And Father, we're not in competition with any Christian. We're not in competition with the world. Father, the only one you've said to look to and imitate is the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore we do. Father, around us, it seems like there's so many people that have better breaks than we do, financially, in love, in friends, in home. Father, sometimes it's so easy to react in bitterness. But Father, we choose not to tonight. We place ourselves into your hands. We trust you for your timing. And in the meantime, we thank you that you are our portion, that you are a friend that sits closer than a brother. And Father, therefore, we thank you for it. We are forgiven. It's thrown behind your back, not to be remembered again. And Father, our choice tonight is not to let a root of bitterness spring back up and defile us. We will not be guilty of failing of the grace of God. And then finally, Father, we'll look toward every situation from now on in love. Father, we can't stop some people from being angry at us, but Father, they're the ones with the problem, not us. We refuse to take their problem, but we're going to pray for them that they'll turn that problem over to the Lord. And Father, we thank you for it. With every head still bowed and no one looking around, perhaps you're here tonight.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Bob Yandian. If you would like to learn more about Bob Yandian or to view a product list, visit our website at bobyandian.com. Bob Yandian Ministries is training up a new generation in the Word of God. If you've been blessed by this ministry, we hope you will consider paying it forward and becoming a partner with Pastor Bob. For more information, visit bobyandian.com.